Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. I have a lot of information I want to cover here in the next few moments. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, verse 17. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. How many of you know and can testify to what Jacob said, that God is in this place today? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. But praise God, we're aware of where we are and who's with us. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course or the direction of your life. And then Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Meaning this, don't follow your heart until Jesus is king of your heart. Once Jesus is king of your heart, then you can follow and guard that heart. One more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got a heart for the house. You may be seated. To catch up on where we've been the last few sessions, I would love for you to get online and go to livingwaychurch.net. We're getting ready to revamp a lot of our podcasting, but you can catch up on those there because we're going to jump right into new material and to our main text, Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. We're talking about having a heart for the house of God. First of all, when we say house of God, I do not want you to think that this is a 100% Living Way self-serving sermon. When I say heart for the house, first of all, the house has to have the presence of God. So when I say heart for the house of God, I want us to have a heart for the presence of God. And that's very key and vitally important because Sunday doesn't come but every 7 days. Wednesday only comes every 7 days. And I want you and I to be in the presence of God on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So having a heart for the presence of God becomes vitally important. But as it pertains to Living Way, this is Team Sunday and Living Way launch. And we've got people that are joining the church today and say, this is where we believe that God has called us to put down roots and to plant ourselves. And we're excited about that. But your commitment to God is what's going to make you committed to a local church. And when you commit to a local church, we believe there is a give and take. We believe every time you come through these doors, you're going to be blessed, but we also believe that you're going to be a blessing, praise God. We believe that you're going to receive something, something's going to be imparted into your life, but we also believe that you are going to impart something into the family and to what God is doing here at Living Way. So Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Genesis 28 gives us a great glimpse on what the presence of God and what a house, what a local church can be for believers. He laid down to rest. If you're taking notes, write this first thing down. That Living Way Church and the presence of God is a place for you to rest. The world is a crazy place. The world is a loud place. I live out in the country. I live off of the highway. I live at least 2 miles off of Interstate 10. I live on a state highway. But in the middle of the night, it gets very quiet out there. But even out there, I've heard a lot of recent sirens going up and down the road late at night. And I thought I would escape that when I moved out of San Antonio, but life gets loud, and it doesn't matter where you go in the world, it's always going to be loud. It's always going to be in your face. Listen, you don't even have to have cable. You can have just the antenna on your TV. The commercials have gotten to where you can't even watch them. You can't go to work without hearing people dropping F-bombs and using God's name in vain. You can't get away from the smut and all the lasciviousness of our culture. And so we need to build a place, and we need to have a place like Living Way where we can escape the world, not because we're scared of it, but we can run into the presence of God, run into the house of God like Living Way. And on a Sunday, we can catch our breath and say, all right, God, in these next few moments, I need you to breathe new life into me. I need you to wash me from all of the craziness of this world. And I need you to do something in me because the world is trying to make me crazy. The world is trying to drag me back to who I used to be. But God, in this place, I can rest. I've got a request for Living Way Collective to bring back the song Lean Back. It's one of my favorite songs, that we can lean back in the presence of the Lord, that we can breathe again in the presence of the Lord. Can I encourage you? We do not have any other agenda for you than for you to come into the presence of God and allow God to do what you need him to do and what he wants to do in your life. If you never give a penny here, that is okay. This is your church. Come hear from God. Come let God put oil in your wounds. Come let him bind up your broken places. But this should be a place of rest. Verse 12, he had a dream. And when Jacob had this dream, he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Listen, when the presence of God, when you find a house of God and a presence of God, understand it is a place for you to dream dreams. See, when you come into this place on Sunday, we don't want you to think all the carnal thoughts that the world wants you to think. We want you to start having God thoughts. Ooh, God thoughts will wreck your life in a good way. God thoughts will flip your world upside down. Have you ever just been driving and God give you a God thought? Have you ever just been in prayer in your bedroom and God give you a God thought? Well, those happen here and there outside of church. But how many of you know if we're going to spend 90 minutes in here on a Sunday morning, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to prep this place with prayer, and we're going to make sure that when you come in this place, we limit distractions. What are we doing? We're doing that so you can sit in a seat or you can stand at your seat and you can dream a God-given dream. I want you to have God thoughts. I want somebody to dream again. Maybe COVID stole your dream from you. Maybe the divorce robbed you of your dream. But I am here to encourage you today, as your pastor, this is a place for you to dream again. And if you're dreamers, dream bigger dreams. Get bigger vision. Allow God to drop something in your spirit that causes you to stir awake in the middle of the night, that causes you to roll out of bed in the morning, that causes you to look forward to what God is doing, not dread what is in your future. It said the angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder, on these steps. This is a place where angels go to and from heaven as errand runners. I don't have time to get into this full teaching, but Bishop has done many teachings on this that I've heard growing up, and I'll have to unpack this at a later date. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those who are inheritance of salvation, who have inherited salvation? How many of you are saved in this place today? That means you have inherited salvation. That means when you got saved, the angels now work for you. The angels now work for me. That's why when we pray and when we dedicate babies, we talk about God assign angels to them to protect them, to keep them. Lord, assign angels to them, Lord, to fight off the adversary. What are we talking about? The angels of God are serving the inheritors. That's us, of salvation. And so while you are in here, when you pray to God in the presence of God, you are dispatching angels to go and take care of the court case, to go and take care of the doctor's issue, to go and take care of your prodigal son or daughter. I'm here to tell you, while you worship, angels are making warfare. While you're here serving, angels are out there making it happen for you. And I don't know what happened to teaching, Brandon, but let's go. Verse 13, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The Spirit, the presence, the church of God should be a place to remind us of our past, but the only thing in our past that he should remind us of is how far he has brought us and what he has done for us. Have you ever been in the middle of worship and become overwhelmed because you started thinking about, man, look at where I am today compared to where I was yesterday. Look at where I am in 2023 compared to where I was in 2019. Look at how far God has brought me from. I used to have a $30 a day habit, and here I am serving. Here I am worshiping. I used to not be able to control my mind and control my lust, but look at me now. Look at what the Lord has done. Every time you darken the doors of Living Way Church, I want you to remember what God has done for you. Because when you remember what God has done for you, you will start looking ahead to what God has promised to do in you. And when you start thinking about what God has done in you, it's going to fire you up to slay every giant that is in front of you. You've got a past, but the worst part of your past is covered by the blood. And then God just reminds you of your testimony. He said, I will give you, verse 13 goes on to say, and your descendants, the land on which you are lying. He said, where you're sleeping right now, he said, you, your descendants, and their descendants, they will have, they will possess. So it's not only a place to look back to see what God has done in his presence, in the house of God, this is a place to remind you of your future in Christ. I don't know your exact future in Christ, but I do know this, that God has a future for you, because if he didn't have a future for you, you wouldn't be alive today. Jesus did not only save you to take you to heaven, he saved you so that you could be what he's called you to be on this earth, which is an ambassador for Christ. I'm here to tell you, your March should be better than your February. Your 2024 should be better than your 2023. It doesn't mean that we will have lives void of valleys and void of storm. It just means that, hey, if I got to go through that valley, there's a big mountain on the other side of it, and I don't mind going through that to get to that. Verse 14, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Ooh, for those of you that are family-oriented, this is a place that speaks life and future into your children and your children's children. Isn't it awesome that 48 years ago, Bishop and Pastor Becky said yes? Little did they know that 48 years later, that their children and their grandchildren would stand on a platform that they broke their back to build. And I believe that my children's children will stand on platforms just like this. Why? Because this is the place of God. Why? Because I'm planted here. I am serving here. And this is where God's going to bring my fruit. And I believe the same is for you. I look at people like the Zamaripas family sitting here on the first and second row. Sister Gloria came here many, many years ago, and she raised every one of her children here at Living Way. And almost every one of those children and now her grandchildren, they're on this campus each and every week. And we've got work to do in one more child, but he's coming home very, very soon in the name of Jesus. He's got way too much word in him. He's got way too much anointing on him. God has done so much for him. But I get excited when I see families have families that have families that are planted in the things of God. Your children's children. This is a place where we speak life and future into them. Verse 15, I am with you, says God, and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. This is a place of promise. And I love how God words it here. He said, the promise I gave you, he said, I am going to see it through. It's not a point of whether you and I see it through. You should get excited that God said, I'm not leaving until it's done. I'm not going anywhere until I bring it to pass. If I promised you healing, then I'm going to heal. If I promised you prosperity, then I'm going to make you prosper. If I promised you the prodigal's coming home, I will not leave the porch until he comes home. Jacob woke up from his sleep, this original text. He thought, surely the Lord is in this place. Do you think, Jacob, after this conversation, you know God is in this place? I was not aware of it. He said, when I went to sleep, I wasn't aware of it, but now that I'm fully awake, God is here. Can I encourage those of you that are wiping the sleep, spiritual sleep out of your eyes today? You are in a powerful place. You are in the presence of God. I know you might have wandered in here 45 minutes ago, and you weren't really thinking that this was going to be your day. Oh, this is your day. Or perhaps you wandered in here in 2021, and you come here once a week, and you check it off your list, and you let your mama and your auntie and your grandma know I went to church today, and it's a religious habit. But I'm going to tell you right now, more than a habit, this is the place of God. And you are about to wake up in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray the light bulb go off in somebody's head today in the room or watching online. God, I believe that right now the revelation that I have, they're getting in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe the revelation that most of us have had is happening all over this building today to those that have been sleeping. You are waking up to realize there's not a lot of places like Living Way where God shows up and they allow him to do what God wants to do. It's a place unlike any other. He said, this is God's place, and I was not aware of it. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He describes God's presence in two ways, a house and a gate. House of God, gate of heaven. For believers in the room today, this is the house of God. God's presence dwells here. God's presence dwells here not because of the building. It dwells here because of the faith of the people. That when we join together and you bring your faith and I bring my faith and you bring your spirit and I bring my spirit and the measure of spirit gets together, it's like the book of Acts all over again. That's what you felt during worship. I love when worship leaders put a little pressure on us and say, hey, if you're expecting something, get out of your seat and move to the altar. It's awesome when people make a physical step, but I am here to tell you, you stepped into the altar, but if you have spiritual ears to hear, God stepped into this building in the middle of that worship like he hasn't been here all week. And I'm here to tell you, when God stepped in, you could feel tangibly his presence in this place. For us believers, this is the house of God. This is the presence of God. But if you're an unbeliever in the room today, you're watching online and you're an unbeliever today, this is not the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. This is the place for you to say yes to Jesus. This is the place for you to lay down your shame and say yes to Jesus. This is a place for you to say, I've made so many mistakes, but I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. This is the place for you to say, I was raised in church, but I've been doing my own thing the last 12 years. This is that place for you to say, but none of that matters because in this moment, I feel the presence of God. And this can be your gateway to heaven. This can be the moment where everything turns around in your life and your destination from hell to heaven is secured through Jesus Christ. And every day for the rest of your life, no longer just the gate of heaven, you'll be able to say, this is God's house. This is God's presence. This is where it all begins. We will be both. We will be everything to all men. If you're saved, then this is the house of God. This is where we want you to get married. This is where we want you to raise your family. This is where we want to dedicate your children. At the end of your life and my life, this is where we want them to lay your body so we can celebrate your graduation to heaven. This is the place that when you go through valleys that we want to cry with you, mourn with you, but also tell you, hey, there's another side to this valley and you are going to make it. This is the place that when good things happen, we can share those testimonies and we can all celebrate the goodness of God. What I'm saying is from the cradle to the grave, this is the house and the presence of God and we want you here. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we want you here. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them we really want you here. I'm going to get into this for the last few moments today of my time, and it's where we've been going these last 3 weeks. There's three words that you've heard me say many times. Usually when we're receiving an offering, we use these words time, talent, and treasure. for me to know where your heart is and for you to know where my heart is, we need to know where we invest our time, talent, and treasure. Because that determines where your heart is. I've always said it like this. Show me your bank statement and show me your schedule, and I'll show you where your heart is. Ooh, it got quiet. Show me what you spend the most time doing. Show me what you spend the most money on, and I'll show you where your heart is. The first one I want to talk about is time. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. And I want all of us as Living Way family to focus in on how we're spending our time as it relates to the presence of God and the house of God. 1 Chronicles 16 says this, search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. There should never be a moment in our life that Jesus is not on our mind. Even if you are running errands, you can be thinking Jesus and having God thoughts. While you're sitting in the office of the doctor, you could be having time with God. There's no excuse. We have smartphones, which means you have every translation of all 66 books of the Bible. Every commentary known to man is now at our fingertips. There is no excuse for us not to be in our word. You can pray anywhere at any time. He says, continually seek God. I have found, church, that the more I seek Jesus, the more I find him. Isn't that amazing? The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we find out about him. Mandy and I celebrate 20 years of marriage in a couple weeks. I'm still finding things out about her. She's finding things out about me. Hey, she's finding things out about herself. She found out a couple months ago that she's lactose intolerant. More cheese for me, thank God. Can I just say this to the church? Jesus is greater, bigger, better, and more powerful than any of us have ever even thought. So what are you investing your time in, church? The average American spends 7 hours per day sleeping. 7 hours a day. Some of you spend 8 or 9. LeBron James said he sleeps 12 hours a day. Must be nice. That's why he can play till he's 40 years old. The sleep elite sleep between 2 and 4 hours a day. 7 hours a day, if you sleep 7 hours a day, that means almost a third of your life is spent in an unconscious state. The average American spends 7 hours and 4 minutes a day looking at a screen. And this is not including work time. This is a TV, this is a phone, or a laptop in your home. The average American spends 1 hour per day eating. If you take the 8 hours of working in school, that's almost 24 hours a day. So my question is where is God in all of this? You say, well, that's America. Well, most of Americans still say they're Christians. How can you be Christ-like if you don't spend time with Christ? How can we become more like him if we are spending less time with him? So here's where it comes down to, church. We must tithe our time, not just our money. Most preachers won't preach this because they want your money. We don't want your money. We want you. We want all of you. We want your family. We want you invested here. Money's not going to do anything for your soul. You say, do you have to tithe to go to heaven? I don't think so. The thief on the cross didn't tithe, never fasted, never came to a worship service. He was in the presence of Jesus. He said, remember me when you enter. So I'm not talking about tithing your money. We'll get to there in a minute if we have time. I'm talking about tithing your time. 17 hours a week belongs to God. 168 hours, 16.8, 17 hours a week belongs to God. If I gave each of us an assignment and I said, all right, let's see what your 17 hours a week to God looks like. Could you feel it? Oh, it's getting quiet now. Hey, I'm preaching to me too. You say, well, I go to church. Good. Sunday church, that's 1.5 hours, okay? Wednesday church, 1.5 hours. Okay, where are the other 14 hours? Are we praying 14 hours a week? Are we in the Word 14 hours a week? Are we witnessing 14 hours a week? Are we sharing our testimony 14 hours a week? 17, if we break it down by day, 2.5 hours of every 24-hour period belongs to God. It's not even an offering. It belongs to Him. He said, listen, I gave you breath every second of every day. He said, you can't give me 10% of your life? So that's just to be said to encourage us to dig in a little deeper this year. To say, God, I'm going to start. I talked to a father here in the house today, and he was telling me about the devotion he's in. That tells me here's somebody who Sunday and Wednesday is not enough. They're digging in on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and saying it's not a church thing. It's a God's presence thing, and I want to know Him more. Psalm 34:1, David said, I praise the Lord at all times. I constantly speak His praise. 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, pray continually. You can pray all the time. You can pray walking into work. Instead of cussing your boss out in your head, Lord bless him, touch him, anoint him, remove him. Whatever you need to do, just do something. When you give God your time, God gives you His time. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help. Ever-present time. He's always there. Even when I was off doing my own thing, God was like, hey, I'm here if you need me. Just turn to me. Call to me. Spend time with me. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and I will restore the years. There's time. He said, you give me your time, I'll give you my time. I talked to believers many times throughout the year that come to Jesus later in life, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, and they say, oh, Pastor Brandon, I wish I was like some of these young people that came to Jesus when I was 13. Oh, I do too, but can I just encourage you with this? God's going to restore your years. God's going to make sure that everything that you would have had from 13 to 53, it all comes back to you. He's restoring the years, the former rain and the latter rain, Joel 2 says. He said, I will bring it at one time in your life. I know Tyler's playing me out, and he's doing exactly what he should do, but I'm going to go a little further because I got two more points to make. You got your time. Now let's talk about your talent. There's something that all of us can bring to the presence of God. There's something that all of us can bring to the church. I shared this with our team on Monday night. Everything we do at Living Way, we do on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. We don't just have teams and ministries to have them. They need to actually serve a purpose. One of the most unsung heroes at Living Way is our nursery team. Oh, come on now. That's good that we don't have to hear babies crying and smell babies. And you say, well, how does what they do help us? Number one, it limits distractions. Mom and dad can drop off their 7-week-old baby, and that nursery team's going to love them like they're their own. They're going to swaddle them. They're going to rock them. They're going to change them. They're going to feed them. And then mom and dad can come in here and get a life-altering word from God. Say, I don't have anything to offer the church. Oh, yes, you do. If you've got a mouth, you can smile. If you can smile, you can be a greeter. Can you do this? Can you do this? You can be a part of the parking ministry. Can you do this? You can be a part of the TV ministry. Can you do this? You can be a part of the sound. No, just kidding. It takes a lot more than that to be on the sound. What I'm saying is you've got something you can do. If you have an iPhone, you can run one of these cameras. I promise you. If you were a singer at school, you gave that voice to school, you won't give it to God. You teach in an elementary and a high school, and you don't want to help the kids in youth ministry. It's your talent. It's what God gave you. And when you give it back to Him, it is now an offering, and you become doubly blessed. Because now you can be a blessing to someone, and then God can be a blessing to you. And when you give your gifts to God, God gives gifts to you. James 1, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, who there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, meaning this, that when you start giving gifts out, God starts giving gifts down. When you start serving, when you let your talent make a kingdom impact, God starts blessing you. And finally, we're going to end with this. Stand on your feet. We're going to talk about your treasure. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I have no problem with you having nice things. Get nice things. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. But understand this, everything we have came from God. Everything we have, from the air we breathe, the mobility of our body, the paycheck, you say, well, I earned that paycheck. Who woke you up? I wouldn't be able to tie my shoe if it wasn't for Jesus. And God could have asked for 90%, and hey, you live on 10%. But he said, I'll just take 10%. You say, why does God need my money? God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And where you put your money shows him where your heart is. Check this. Tithing, I've never thought about it until this exact moment. Tithing is just a test on your heart. Every time I post something online about tithing, you get the trolls that come out. Can I just encourage, if a troll's listening or watching, choose scrolling, not trolling. If you don't like it, just scroll past it.